Second hour on this Monday, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Let's talk with TD, Teron Davenport. Talking with TD is his podcast. You should check it out. He's also the NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Rich Samini just will not give up the fight in trying to get a star receiver in New York. What do you make of Rich Samini's reporting last week and over the weekend? And, of course, A.J. Brown in the middle of all that reporting. What's your take from it?
Well, I think it's really a matter of people not understanding context. He's not saying that A.J. Brown is looking for $25 million. He's not saying that the Titans are looking to trade A.J. Brown. He's just mentioning A.J. Brown as well as D.K. Metcalf as guys that could be possible options that the Jets could pursue if the opportunity comes up in trade. So I don't even think it's a trade rumor. It's just looking at a situation and just, kind of putting things together. And I think it's been torn way out of context. And, it's ridiculous, honestly.
What do you think ultimately his number is going to be? I mean, do you think that number is close? Do you think it's way off? I mean, what do you think the ballpark number is going to be?
Yeah, I think it's going to be between $20 and $25 million reasonably. When you got Christian Kirk getting $18 million, I think you look at Chris Godwin, you look at Mike Williams, they signed three-year $20 million deals. In Godwin's case, I believe it was $40 million that was guaranteed. They have the same agent in Torrey Dandy, who also represents DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel, and I think that's pretty much where that deal is going to come into play. And remember, the average money, like the average annual salary, like that's not something that's all set in concrete. The main thing you look at is the guarantees, because you could draw something up to have a high average and it not really be what it's worth in like content, in text value.
Yeah. Look, I understand he's been hurt a lot. I think he's really good. I don't think he's elite or great, but I think he's got real upside. I mean, if the Jets are so desperate, and this guy is not to the level that the names have been thrown out there, so I understand that. I'm putting that out there on the front end of this. But why wouldn't they have tried to go trade for Devontae Parker? I mean, if he was available for Miami, they had a plethora of receivers. Why would you let them trade him to the other team in the division in New England rather than yourself?
Well, you kind of diffused your own statement by saying that he's not to their level. I mean, Devontae Parker has been a frustrating draft pick for the Dolphins. And it's a different situation when you're talking about Devontae Parker as a consolation prize to not being able to get Tyreek Hill. That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, so, that's a big gap.
I mean, there's not much upside there, and that's not something that would have really moved the needle for them receiver-wise anyway.
Well, I'm going to leave the A.J. Brown talk to Darren and Willie because, I don't want anybody saying that I said something about A.J. Brown that I didn't say. But in the draft, TD, there are several receivers, and you brought up several that could be under the radar guys that could fall to the Titans in the third round. But I am looking, and I'm going to say his name, Jameson Williams out of Alabama. I mean, this kid is unbelievable. I think he is the best receiver in the draft. Obviously, he got hurt in the national championship game and tore up his knee. But do you think if he's there for the Titans, and I know I'm a big proponent of, hey, listen, don't draft a hurt guy, but this young man with his upside, if he falls to you, do you think the Titans pull the trigger and take him?
I don't think they do, because I think they need somebody that's going to be impactful right now. And as it looks right now, October, November, maybe, will be when he would be expected to be back. But then you have that whole phase that you got to work through as far as being back from injury. But when you look at Jameson Williams, and you kind of touched on it last week when you were talking about vertical threat and also just the ability to just, be a home run hitter, he has that because, yeah, he has the speed to where he'll run by most people. But then on top of that, he's a guy that, he could find that little soft spot in the zone and he catches it, and he'll take it the distance. You know, so he presents a lot more than just a speed option vertically, and he's a serious problem as far as how he kills angles and things like that. So, he would be someone that would be very intriguing. I just don't know that they take him being as though they need immediate impact.
Now, it seems like the Titans at this point are done with their free agent signings. And I know there will be things that kind of come here and there, not just with the Titans, but with other teams and signing players as they get released or as the season offseason continue to go on. But how do you feel they did from a free agent standpoint, other than signing their own guys?
Yeah, I think they did a decent job. I'm a little confused as to how Dane Cruikshank was able to leave at only $1 million, for his contract with the Bears. But I think when you look at, if you include the trade for Robert Woods, that's something that kind of offsets their inactivity, you know, on the receiver side of things, free agent-wise, and I think that was good. So overall, I think they did a solid job. They went out and got a tight end, and I think could come in and help, and Austin Hooper. I think they did kind of fall short on the free agent offensive lineman side of things, and I know Mike Vrabel said that he thinks Jamarco Jones has his best football ahead of him, and he could be a starter at left guard. So I guess in their book they filled it, but I mean, I don't think they did a solid job as far as bringing in a veteran right tackle or swing guy. And that's what Jones is supposed to be. But I look at Morgan Moses, the 3 years, $15 million deal, and that's one that, not to say that the Titans could have got that same deal, but, I mean, I think that's a pretty good offensive lineman at a very, very nice rate that would have helped that line.
Daron Davenport is with us. We're talking Tennessee Titans, talking with TD. So, TD, the more you compile in terms of just data and knowledge about this upcoming draft class, are you liking it more as a fit for the Titans or less compared to past years?
I like it more because you look at the areas of need and it's deep there. And then plus, they're finally in a position where they could get a quarterback of the future at pick 26. I think Desmond Ridder will be there. So if they want to get their future guy, that's possible. So I think that's the bonus in that you have that option to where you could do that. But tight end, DB, receiver, offensive line, like it's deep in all of those groups. So that's a good thing for them.
So how would you feel if you really like Ridder? And I heard Joe Rexroad make this point. I have to agree. Like, you've got to really think, man, we can't pass this up. Because otherwise, I still see a team that could really use a boost from the first-round pick, regardless of the position. And when you're picking a quarterback there, it's more of a project for a year or two down the road. So that would be a dilemma. So tell us more about Ridder.
Yeah, well, I think when you look at Ridder, he has a lot of similarities to Tannehill. He said it himself as far as the mobility, which is something that Mike Vrabel has placed an emphasis upon. And then if you look at just being able to have that accuracy on the move, that's when he's at his best. He could push the ball down the field. They've always talked about, you know, wanting to have more chunk plays, and that was something that Desmond Ridder, he really made it a point to show that he can be a vertical passer last year, and he did it right from the start, you know. And then you look at the Notre Dame game, he threw the ball down the field well. You get a guy that's a mature player. He's used to being the face of the franchise, so to speak. That's what he was at Cincinnati. And then also, you just have that like the familiarity as far as Cincinnati's coach and Mike Vrabel. You know, he was the best man at Vrabel's wedding. They're really good friends. So I think that's going to give you, you know, a very honest and in-depth pipeline as far as knowing his ability. So I think Ridder is, in my opinion, the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft class. I think he is the one that could come in and play right away, and he had a lot of snaps there at Cincinnati.
So I'll go back to the central question. You're John Robinson. You're sitting there, and he's there. How do you weigh whether to take him, or let's say there's another guy or two that could help you immediately and try to keep you in this window here. That's a dilemma.
Yeah, I think you got to look at the depth of the other positions and what you could do as far as being able to get a guy at that position in the third round at pick 90 that could obviously not give you the same impact but give you some type of good impact. So that's really how it comes down to it. And the thing that you have to look at, and it's something that I mentioned before and it's not really being considered, next year they could get out of the Tannehill deal. And next year they'll have that Jeffrey Simmons deal looming. So, you know, if you could save a bunch of money, have a guy come in that is ready to play right away, maybe not play right away, but just sit back and kind of learn from a guy who he clearly respects and has a similar skill set to, I think that could set them up for 2023, being able to absorb the high contracts of what A.J. Brown will have, what Jeffrey Simmons will have. And then also, you look at David Long and Amani Hooker. Those guys, those are going to be deals. Nate Davis is going to be another deal. So you could save some money, still get, you know, solid quarterback play in Ritter. So that could be a way that they're looking at it to kind of justify it.
That'll do it. Teron, really appreciate it as always. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
No problem. You guys take it easy. Mm-hmm.
Teron Davenport, Talking with TD is his podcast. You should check it out every Wednesday when it drops. Of course, he is a part of all of our platforms throughout the course of the day. We'll continue the discussion on the other side. What is the number? Where should the Titans be looking? And by the way, still getting some I've got a couple now mm-hmm. that I really think are good ones. Still guesses coming in on our conversation back in the first hour. We'll do all that on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is what I know coming up in about a half an hour. Preds tickets on the line. Keep that in mind, but you'll have to participate. You'll have to jump in on our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, and tell us what you know. This is what I know. I think we've got a good one on our text line. Really, I think this is the one. Boy, I wish Ryan Porth was here for this discussion.
Ooh.
Really do. Dusty Baker. Does a Dusty Baker absolutely fit that mold?
Well, he was a great player.
Great player.
You don't think he's a great manager?
Yeah, he's a great manager. But he's a lower tier than Joe Torre on both fronts. He never won an MVP as a player, and he's never won a World Series as a manager.
He's been to several.
Yeah.
He took a Houston team last year that nobody predicted.
Of course. Of course. Look, I am a huge Dusty Baker fan. Huge. But I would still put Don Staley's credentials above.
He is.
And I would put Joe Torre slightly above. Dusty Baker. Dusty was probably a better player for a longer time. Joe Torre was a top-level player at his best. You know, like I said, MVP. Dusty Baker, I don't think, ever came close to winning an MVP as a player on a lot of really good teams.
Okay, then I'll try this one on you. How about Ron on our text line? Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr.
Steve was a good player.
Complimentary player.
Yeah, he was.
On a lot of great teams.
He was a good.
Excellent role player.
He was a great three-point shooter, but a good player.
Never sniffed an Olympic team, right? No. He was never considered for an Olympic team.
But he wasn't a... Was he a starter on a Bulls team?
Yeah, I think he started on a couple of those teams at the end. Played his role really, really
exactly.
well.
Exactly. He was a really good role player.
Yeah.
Another guy that was a better coach than he was a player.
Another guy that was brought up on Twitter from Paul, Larry Brown. Again, not a great player, but played on a lot of good teams. He was an Olympic gold medalist as a player, won a college national championship as a coach. So he was good, but Don Staley is still tough. It's tough to beat. Yeah. Bill Russell, as we looked up, won two titles as a player coach.
Bill would probably be the person that's comparable to Staley.
Right, just because of his greatness as a player. Mm-hmm. He's one of the five best all time, arguably. Mm-hmm. And two titles as a player coach, Of course, he got
but
to coach himself.
But do we really view him as a coach, though?
Yeah, he was the coach.
I mean, he was the coach.
He was the coach.
You got to give
he
it to
him.
He
had title.
And when it says head coach.
Exactly.
Bill Russell.
Exactly. Wait, when we talk about great coaches, does anybody ever bring up Bill Russell? Ever? When well, we bring up great coaches?
Because it was so short. His stint was so short.
And then he became a coach later and didn't win a whole lot as a when he retired as a player. Mm-hmm. He didn't win a whole lot at that time. So
I think that one's a stretch. I think we're trying to force the
That's why that's why we're pointing out in this whole discussion is how unique Dawn Staley is, because when you're coaching college kids, you're recruiting the team, you know, you have nothing to do with playing on the court. Like Bill Russell was the player coach, mm-hmm. but he's one of the greatest players of all time.
you got to count it.
Here's what a good coach does. Put me in. I'm one of the greatest ever.
That's a good coach.
Put me in, coach.
Okay, coach. Bill, go in. Okay, coach.
What about Pete Rose?
Never won as a player manager.
Uh-huh. I know.
Never even won a division.
I know. I just wanted to see what you guys are saying. All right, there's been several of these on our text line. And I'm going to say this with all due respect, right? Mm-hmm. Because we love, everybody loves, but I don't think this one is going to fit this category.
Caleb Love?
Nope. Oh, he's really good, really good. We'll see how he is tonight. Terry Crisp.
Crispy.
Oh, Crispy.
Crispy.
Now,
Crispy was an energy guy. He was a role player.
Was right.
A great play on winning teams, as we know, won cups. But I don't think he's the player.
I think it's kind of like a Steve Kerr, mm-hmm. right? But
he falls more in that line.
Yes. Yep. And he is. I think there are only 14 people that are on the Stanley Cup as a player and as a coach, and he's one of them. So it's a rare company, but he was not a great – he would be the first to tell you.
He
was not
a great red hair.
Player. Yeah.
Great curly red hair, but, yeah, just – I don't – he's
well,
not
that
gonna,
should put him a notch up.
Just that should
with that
him
alone,
up a little
yeah,
bit,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
I still would have liked to have seen what he could have done as a coach had he not gotten the quick trigger. Unfortunately, like a lot of organizations do, mm-hmm. but they had an early exit to the playoffs. His third, I think it was his third year as the coach of the Flames, and they let him go. You look at his record. They won a cup. They won a President's Trophy. You got the quick hook, man. Just give the guy a few more years. They could have won another one.
What about Tim Corbin? Anybody see him at Ohio Wesleyan? I did. He was. What about him?
We'll have to look up the college stats for the Battling Bishops of Ohio Wesleyan. That's where my parents went to school.
Yeah, that's where my best man at my wedding.
Nice.
Pitched in college, Ohio Wesleyan. I think him and Tim just missed each other. By the way, just missed.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know Kevin McHale was the coach. Was the coach? He was with Minnesota. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. He's the
but
coach
he didn't
in Minnesota.
Do a lot of
but the, he had
he had some
Bernard
good teams.
Garnett.
He had some good teams.
Kevin Love.
Rocket. He coached for the Rockets, right?
Yeah, he coached the Rockets.
He was.
He got canned.
Was he GM with Minnesota?
He has been a GM. Yeah,
coach and GM with Minnesota. Yeah.
Hey, Wilt Chamberlain.
Doc Rivers. We forgot Doc Rivers.
Oh, Doc Rivers is a good one. Wilt Chamberlain coached the San Diego Conquistadors to 34 wins in 1974 in the ABA.
Conquistadors. Was that? Did they play against Jackie Moon?
Another great player coach.
Another great player coach, Jackie Moon.
Player, coach, owner, mascot.
Everything.
Trying to run a business here, people.
There's our answer right there. That's the winner. Alan Smyrna says Casey Jones.
Mm. Casey Jones,
it's a pretty good one, right?
I have to
look
up Casey as a player. Like, I thought he was a role player as a player, but I don't go back that far.
Lenny Wilkins.
We brought up Lenny. No question. He's got the most wins of any NBA coach, but he was one of those player coaches for a long time.
The point of this whole discussion is just to show you. What Dawn Staley has done is pretty rare.
How right? about Jim Harbaugh?
Was he
a Steve Kerr
was he a
player?
Jim
great
Harbaugh
player?
Was a good player. Was,
okay,
a
right,
really good player.
Exactly,
yes.
a really good player. Yes. Right. Was he a great player? That's
no.
Right. That's what we're talking
about.
So Ditka, he wasn't a great player.
Mike Ditka in football is still our best candidate from the NFL. Don't you think?
Yep.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yep. I'm trying to think of college football players who became great college football coaches. There's probably a few of those somewhere in there.
Mike Singletary, no.
Cue the line. All I can think of is can't win with them.
Can't win with them. Can't play with them.
We want winners.
We want winners. Didn't he send Vernon Davis to
yeah.
the
yeah.
Yeah.
That
locker
room?
That's,
yeah,
that's
where it
where
came,
quote
from.
Came
yeah.
from.
Yeah.
During the game? I mean, literally sent him to the locker room during the game. Like, get out of here.
Jerry Sloan?
He was a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Jerry
but
Sloan.
He never won a championship in Utah.
Yeah. Never won a championship.
Had really good teams. Great
no,
team.
No, he was a great – look, he was a great coach. Was he a great player?
He's a really good player.
Again,
very good. But
again,
Phil
really
Jackson.
Good player.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Played for a long time.
A really good player. Again, not great. He was a great coach, though. I mean, what about Rudy Tomjanovich?
Rudy T. Try that again, Darren. Tomjanovich. Yeah.
Say that fast three times. He was probably more known for the fight
than anything.
Getting smoked by a...
Getting smoked.
Breaking his face.
Getting smoked. That came from Billy. Getting smoked.
There's a book. There's a whole book on him getting hit by Kermit. Is it Kermit Washington was the guy that hit him?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was bad.
So it is... It's really hard to find a... Great example. A couple people brought up Pat Summitt on our text line. Again,
not quite the player.
As a player, again, just not. It's got to be both. It's got to be great as a player, great as a coach, and that is a hard, hard combination to find, because a lot of times the great player does not go on to coach. That's how it usually works out. All right, we'll come back. Get back into the AJ Brown discussion. And Derek, I know you. I want you to talk long and hard about this. But why is Rich Cimini? Rich Cimini's a really good journalist, right? Why is he bringing this up so much?
We've had him on the show many times.
I know we have. So let's get into that. Don't forget, This Is What I Know coming up in about 17 minutes. We've got a great prize attached to it. You're listening to the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Nashville Sounds start their season tomorrow. A 6-game homestand at First Horizon Park. Durham Bulls in town. Of course, the affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Catch all the action. Sounds Baseball. ESPN 94.9 tomorrow night starting with pregame 6:20. First pitch 6:35.
Loving it. Baseball's coming. Let's go.
Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Spirited Hive, and Dazed Delta 8. Can't wait. Yeah. Baseball is here.
Yeah. Mets have their top two starters out. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Some things never change.
DeGrom and Scherzer on the shelf.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks for playing.
Money already, well spent.
Already officially eliminated. No, that's not true.
Hey, man, only, what, 2 games in?
No. Not true. Okay.
Y'all eliminated already.
Didn't even get to the first game.
Exactly.
They're both hurt. Come on.
Oh, man.
I drafted 0 Mets players, so just putting that out there. There's been a flurry of text all saying the same thing, and I think they are right. It's on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. The answer is Steve Spurrier. Spur Dog.
Yeah.
On the college ranks.
That's
pretty good.
You're right. He would be number one.
Heisman Trophy. Great coach.
National champions.
Yep.
Steve Spurrier. That's it.
Yeah, he's number one.
On the college level. Now, remember, he was the quarterback for the first Buccaneers team.
Yeah. And he was the coach for the Washington football team, or the Washington Commanders.
Leave the NFL out of the discussion. You can even count his USFL coaching. That would be pretty good.
Yeah, but he doesn't even count Washington. He doesn't even put it on his resume.
Hey,
so.
Boys, we're going to be finished by 1, so I can give me a tea time.
Willie knows the whole South Carolina story. Boy, we'll never forget that day on the show. Mm-hmm. Or, I guess, after the show, when somebody pulled us aside and said, yeah, I got a buddy that lives in Columbia, South Carolina. Spur Dog's going to be the new coach at South Carolina. We're like, what? Like, yeah, they've already given him a membership at Augusta. What? Okay. All right, man.
He's in.
No, I'm telling you, this is done. It's a done deal. Like, all right, man, we love you. I don't think we can go on that. I mean, your buddy in Columbia. Yep, it happened like 48 hours later. Yeah. We're like, whoa.
What a character.
South Carolina is going to land Steve Spurrier. Yep, they did. So I think that is one in this category.
He's number one.
I feel very comfortable putting Spurrier in with Don Staley in this category.
If you're only counting college accolades.
Well, you can only count Staley's.
Well, what are we talking about?
She was a great WNBA
player. Yeah, WNBA, but we're talking college.
College coach.
Yeah. WNBA.
But Steve Spurrier is not the level of player as Don Staley.
Not in the professional.
Definitely not
ranks.
In the pros. Just look at some films of the 1976 Tampa Bay Bucks.
Oh, they were horrible. It didn't matter who was quarterback in Tampa back then. They were horrible.
Well, he's got it in the coaching category, but yes. You're right. Probably, but look, you win the Heisman, and I know it was just in college, but I think he's right there in the discussion for sure. So good stuff. A lot of tons of responses on our text line and people tweeting at us. I think that is a really
good one. It's a fun topic.
It is.
Kill some time.
So do we really think A.J. Brown, so Teron said 20 to 25 million. It's been tossed out there. Could command $25 million a year. What are your guys' thoughts on A.J. Brown actually commanding that type of money in a year?
Hey, if a team – I've always said you are worth as much as a team wants to pay you, whether you, Willie, or anybody out there believes he's worth it or not. If the Titans believe he's worth X amount of dollars, that's what they're going to pay him. If the Jets or anybody else feel he's worth, you know, picks and – you know, 20-some dollars, then that's what you're worth. Now, if you're just looking at it purely from a number standpoint, here's what the Titans' rebuttal would be. He hadn't been a top-10 receiver in yardage since he's been in the NFL. He's missed games due to injury. You know, he hasn't been that elite player that many may think he is at this point of his career. But I do believe the biggest is the injury aspect of it, you know? And do I want to pay? It might end up being just a 3-4 year deal. I think that would be the smartest for both parties. Do a shorter deal, guarantee him his money, and if it works out, great, you re-sign him. If it doesn't, then, you know, you can move on from the deal. But
what does it matter in the NFL, though? Like, it's not baseball, hockey, or the NBA.
Well, if you
these deals, typically, when you look at the years, after, like, the first year or two, they're usually all voided anyway for the most part.
Well, when you sign these five-year deals, okay, it's really essentially a three-year deal.
Or less,
because they can get out of it.
Yeah.
If you sign a 3-year deal, then you're more inclined to get the full 3 years if you don't get injured, you know, because it's a shorter window. I don't know if the Titans would be willing to do that. And I don't know if AJ would be willing to sign it unless it was 3 years, you know, $75 million and, you know, 50 of it or 55 was guaranteed. Then you're like, okay. That's a really good deal. But the market dictates that because he's young, because he's had 2,000-yard seasons, because he's eclipsed the double-digit touchdowns his second year, I believe, the market's going to – I don't look at what Christian Kirk got, because if you look at it truly, it's not the deal that we see on paper, because they can kind of get out of that deal, I think, after year one or two. So it's not really the whole number. But based upon what he's done, the market's going to say you're in between 17 and 22.
I think
I don't think the 20, unless he has a 1,400-yard season. 10 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns. Anything above 9 touchdowns, 1,100 yards. Then the price goes up. But if he gives you what he's given you the last 3 years, then, you know, again, if the Titans want to pay him $22 million, then $25 million, then he's worth that because that's what they want to pay him. But based upon the numbers, and if they're the same going by the trend, then he's between that $17 and $22
million. It's really a unique thing when you get down to it, because you've used this phrase, Derek, and I think it's dead on. He's the best wide receiver that they have had since you.
Uh-huh.
And so relative to all, and it's really, there's nobody in between. There's nobody even close. And so those
that
guys
drafted,
you can't,
nobody that they drafted.
Right, right.
I think Nate Washington, right, had they, okay, really.
All due respect to some of those
good
guys.
He was a really good receiver for the Titans.
But a guy that you want to give that second contract to me, it's a no-brainer. You don't let guys like A.J. Brown go. But then when you turn and look at the numbers, there are issues there, right? He's missed some games, and he's played hurt. He's had nice years, but you don't look at the numbers and say, oh, my gosh, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. You know, he's had great, great games. But is a difference maker that they've got to have, but finding the exact number to pay him is the tricky part.
Mm-hmm.
But all that being said, to me, you've got to have him. The numbers will work themselves out. They're going to get a deal done. You just don't let guys like that go.
No.
You work so hard to finally draft a guy that you like that is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
You find a way to make it work. But that doesn't mean the negotiation is easy. But they're not trading him.
But they always seem to, and this has just been the Titans. I don't know why. But they've always seemed to, you know, not re-up with some of these guys, you know, that they draft.
But there's never really been somebody like him, though.
That keeps going. Even Corey Davis, I felt they should have re-upped with him.
I thought so, too. Yeah. But even he hasn't been as
game-changing
as A.J.
Who's bit him in the butt? A Dory Jackson? Corey Davis?
No, we're talking about wide receivers.
No, we're talking about wide receivers.
Even Jonnu Smith, which everybody thought would come back and bite him, has it.
No, is that? But what people fail to realize is this, and I think I need to tell you guys this, because I think y'all missing this. When players typically go to another team, because you said it about Tyreek Hill, like, don't think he's going to get those numbers that he got in Kansas City.
It's a different equation.
It's a different quarterback. It's a different system. You got to learn a system and everything else. They just run different. Had Jonnu and Corey stayed here, their numbers would have been better. Because, again, they had a rapport with Tannehill. They know the offense. They're comfortable with what they're doing. They just go out there and play. Jonnu had to go to New England. And just about every player, receiver, that has went to New England, except Randy Moss, they've struggled some to pick up the offense. So
tight ends struggled in New England?
They haven't had the numbers that they had at their previous stops. They've been good, but they hadn't had the numbers. Had Jonnu stayed here, his numbers would have been a lot better.
I agree.
Yeah, but they weren't willing to give him $50 million.
That's the hard part, is when, because the market's good. Like, the market is good for wide receivers who can make a difference. So it's tempting, like Corey Davis, to go out and take a bigger paycheck. But there's that X factor when you change the equation, you go to a different place, different quarterback, all those things you just said.
But you're always chasing. You're always chasing now, because you let Corey Davis go, you went and got Julio. Well, the money you gave Julio, you could have gave to Corey. So now you're chasing. Now you're going to get Robert Woods. You got to pay him. And you're praying and hoping that it works out. They're always chasing. You can't keep chasing. You just got to, hey, listen, we got this guy. We know what he's about. He's a really good player. Let's keep him.
I was for that. Before I knew everything about Julio Jones and what they wanted to do there at the time, I would have signed up for that. You know, not that I blame them for going for it with Julio. It was a worthy gamble, and it was a bust. But with AJ, to me, he's even more valuable than Corey Davis, even at his best.
Well,
and
again,
so you've got to have him. But
I'm going to go to this. If you look at AJ's numbers, he disappeared a lot. And I don't know if that was because of the game plan or him. I don't know what, and I'm not going to sit here and speculate what it was. But if you look at his numbers in all of these games, a lot of these games, with the exception of three or four of them last year, he sort of disappeared.
He had some games where he dropped some passes.
Right, we got in. I know we could go. We will. We'll continue the discussion. But, Willie, we're going to come back with This Is What I Know, and maybe it's on A.J. Brown. Who knows? But first you're going to tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right. Loan Pronto. How great would it be to wipe out all of the credit card payments? Oh, you know that that would be a great thing. Or other high-interest loans that you might have. So imagine your monthly cash flow without these payments. You can do it today with Loan Pronto's debt consolidation refi. Loan Pronto has got great stuff. They can help you use the equity in your home to your advantage. It's a smart financial move. Here's the deal. Your home's value is up. Inflation has been great for your home. So you can refinance your mortgage now, take money out to pay off all of the credit cards or any other of those debts. Eliminate PMI charges. Pay off personal loans or other high-interest debts. So many examples of how they're doing this. So why pay 20% interest when you can consolidate it into one low payment with a mortgage APR in the threes? Do it through Loan Pronto. The debt consolidation, fast and easy refi is amazing. Homeowners who do it save an average of $800 a month. Do it now. You can even skip your next house payment. So call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval.
We do. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All you have to do is call in and tell us what you know. Best one to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators and Sharks next Tuesday at Bridgestone Arena. That's April 12th. Who would like to start? Not at once. All right, I'll start.
Go ahead, start, Darren.
I don't know if you guys saw. Murray State found their next coach. It's a familiar name. Steve Prohm is back at Murray State as their head coach.
Okay.
I think that's a fantastic hire after spending, I think, the last 6 years at Iowa State. Obviously, he left Murray State to take the Iowa State job, and now he's back at Murray because we know McMahon is at LSU, which, by the way, currently does not have a roster. I'm not even kidding. Have you guys seen?
Yep.
Like LSU between the transfer has killed them. But basically the entire roster transferred, or they're moving on. They graduated, or they're going to be in the draft.
But you guys love the transfer portal. Do you think it's great?
Hey, they're not the one caught on wiretap talking about good-ass offers. So I think they have every right to leave. This whole mess that they're going to be in, isn't their fault. So this is a good exception.
They have no players right now. They have no players. Well, I think the four of us could try out.
And we would maybe make
the team.
Yeah, as of this moment, if we were to walk in there, we would be in the starting five.
Or the leading scorer.
Currently.
Not even just today. The starting five.
Somebody has to play.
According to our sources, today we would be starting for LSU. If we went there right now, we would be starting. So that's what I know. Steve Prohm back at Murray, and LSU has no players.
Oh, wow. Man. Y'all want to go try out?
Okay. you guys, hey, we're live in Baton Rouge tomorrow.
Hey, we're going to go try out. Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
It's a Preds game.
They ought to do that. They ought to have the LSU student body come out and have tryouts just to have a team for the summer.
I think Darren and I might be the only one with ones here with the NCAA eligibility. I think, Derek, so you've used up all yours. You've used up all yours.
Well, I played only three years of college basketball. So somewhere in there, do I still have a year with
COVID
and
we
everything?
We can get a grad year, right? Like yeah, they have grad programs for broadcasting.
There were players this year that were in their sixth year playing. So because of all the waivers and exceptions they've made.
I've lost track
of
how many years. It's like it seems like you never run out of time.
John Fulkerson.
I can use my red shirt year, can I? I didn't red shirt, but can I go back and say, well, I should have been red shirted?
Yeah, with COVID, everything's in the mix.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can make a case.
Exactly. I can say, hey, listen, I wanted to come back, but COVID happened. So, okay, this is what I know. The Memphis Grizzlies, without their best player, Ja Morant, is still terrorizing people.
They beat
the
Suns.
They can't be beat.
They're when like Ja they're Morant, like 20 and
yes,
2, I think.
Without him in the lineup. When Ja comes back, y'all better watch out.
And I, this he wasn't is my even sleep- the only guy missing.
This is my sleeper pick to win the NBA championship.
Are they a sleeper? Are they a sleeper?
They're not
at this
a sleeper,
point?
But I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of the experience like the Suns yeah. have and some of these other teams. Golden State, even though Curry is out, but he will be back for the playoffs, they said. Teams like that, that have been there, that understands it. But Memphis, I mean, they are hard to beat even with – I mean, they're hard to beat with Ja. But when Ja's not in there, it seems like they even elevate their play even more.
Yep. They're going to be the two seed
that,
in the West.
You look at some teams that have made runs the last few years, it's possible. I think it's time to have the belief that Memphis could win it.
Well,
this is what this is what I know. Thank you, Seattle Kraken, for beating the Dallas Stars last night, because have you looked at the standings the last couple days? Woo! Yep. It is tight
in the, testing.
In the West. You better tight. Have your act together. The Predators have won 6 of their last 10, but yet they have lost ground in the standings. It is a razor's edge. Massive game tomorrow. I've been saying massive a lot.
Yeah, that's your word.
It's a big, big game tomorrow against Minnesota. Man, it's the next version of the biggest game of the year.
No doubt. Let's go to Al to get things started. Al, what do you know?
Hello. Hello.
Go ahead,
Hello,
Al.
You're on.
Yeah.
What do you know?
What do you know?
I haven't called the station for several years, but I have got a, this is what I know, and this is what I suspect.
Okay.
What I know is that the Titans are going to draft Jameson Williams, the receiver from Alabama.
Okay.
This is because he's hurt. That's what the Titans do. They find a player that's hurt and they take him. And okay. my suspicion is that there are moles working for the Titans. These are moles are working as secret agents for other teams, and they're giving Robinson a lot of bad advice. And this is why the Titans have mangled the last two drafts and made bad trades and released players all over the place and signed players that they shouldn't have signed, and it's been a mess. So that's
mangled.
What I
okay,
but
all right, Al.
That might be a little bit too far, but right. that's well, what I suspect anyway.
Don't be a stranger. That was good. That was good. That was good mangled. Stuff. I like that word. Mangled.
We have moles.
Moles.
There's some dissension.
Is it like Caddyshack? I mean, what do they need to do? Blow up some areas over
well, that
there?
Was it worked. It didn't work so well with the Gophers, but maybe yeah. moles would be better.
There's that guy that is sitting in his room.
Yeah.
Robinson, let's, draft this guy.
Let's go to Adam. What do you know?
Yeah, man. So this is what I know. So one of my favorite things to do is to see a youngster doing something special that gives them confidence, whether it be sports or karate, whatever. What I like to see even more is fathers that stand in the background every time their kid does something awesome and is proud. Darren, I'm calling you on this one. But this is what I know. If your kid's going to do something like karate or mixed martial arts, and they're growing up and they got the hormones and all that, you got to watch how you talk to them, man, because they're going to hit that, you know, boy going into man stage, and all it takes is one smart thing. They think you said something smart, and you're getting kicked in the chin. So just be careful with what you're letting your kids do, man.
Hey, I'm telling you this right now, on this day.
Good advice. Hey, be careful. It may kick you right in the face.
Telling you this right now. If DJ ever tried that, hey, listen, I brought you in this world. As my mama would say, I brought you in this world. I could take you out.
That's when they learned what old man strength is.
Exactly. But no.
Well, man. I did say that. I mean, he just graduated to red belt, and I said, I'm so proud of him, but I feel like every belt that he moves up to, he's getting that much closer to black belt. I feel like my days are, you know, they're winding down. Like, he's going to be able to kick my butt soon. Like, that's.
Do you need to start a training program
yeah,
yourself?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Darren, come on.
Probably so. All right, let's go to Eric. Eric, what do you know?
This is what I know. So, guys, I heard a report over the weekend that Ben Simmons has filed his grievance against the Philadelphia 76ers, guys, citing mental health issues. And, again, I don't want to question that or anything like that, guys, because that stuff like that is very, very serious. But I've heard reports over the weekend there was a couple of incidents that, again, I have no idea if it's true, but it makes me wonder when I hear stuff like this. There was a report that he was so desperate to get out practicing with the team and playing with the team, there were reports that he faked COVID. Again, I have no idea if that's true, but if that's true, that's disgusting. And I heard that allegedly when he came back to be on the bench with the Nets against the Sixers, that he deliberately wore the uniform or outfit, whatever he's wearing, just to get the crowd to boo him so he could cite mental health issues. Again, I have no idea if that's true, but if that is, that is totally, totally disgusting. And it makes me just upset when athletes, and again, I'm not against guys getting the money that they want, but when they do stuff like he did, the whole deal with Kyrie Irving and the vaccine and about him playing, not playing because of issues at the Capitol or the George Floyd death or just anything. And then he hear about reports him celebrating a birthday party with his family and also antics that Antonio Brown pulls. It's just when athletes do stuff like that, it's just hard for me to have sympathy for them when they want to get paid all that money, guys. That is what I know.
Thank
y'all
you,
take
Eric.
Care.
Good stuff. Really, really good participation. Sorry we couldn't get to everybody. We got to come back. We got to head east. We got to bring in Vince Ferrara to start things off. Third hour, DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game.